Our sermon today is based on a reading picking up from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Thank you, God, for providing us all that we need. Okay, on second thought, maybe this wasn't the best scripture to pull out for a Father's Day sermon. A story about a man taking his boy out on a father-son camping trip with the intention of killing him because the father God thought God told him to. Not exactly a heartwarming tale, is it? So many questions crop up for us when we read this story. How did Abraham discern that it was actually God telling him to sacrifice Isaac? Isaac, for the son for whom Abraham had waited so long, the very son that God had specifically told Abraham, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called. My covenant I will establish with Isaac," promised for the future. But if Abraham killed Isaac as he thought God commanded, how could that future ever be realized? Why didn't Abraham resist or protest? He tussled with God before. When God told him about the plan to utterly destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham bargained with God until God promised that if there were at least 10 good people in those evil cities, just 10, God would not destroy it. Then again, Abraham acquiesced and went along with some other not-so-great plans without protest. For instance, when Sarah told him to have a child with her handmaid Hagar, Abraham said, "Okay," apparently not taking time to think of the repercussions of such an act, and there were indeed repercussions. Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, but when Isaac, whose name means laughter, was born, Sarah decided she didn't want Hagar and Ishmael around anymore. She told Abraham to send them away. Although he was troubled by Sarah's demand, Abraham once again acquiesced and sent Hagar and Ishmael off into the desert, where Ishmael almost died. Yeah, happy Father's Day, Abe. Now, with another demand thrust upon him, the meek Abraham got up without saying a word to God or to anyone, certainly not to Sarah, and started out from Mount Moriah, as God had told him. The ancient rabbis tell a tale in which Abraham does resist. In the story, God says to Abraham, "Sacrifice your son." Abraham says to God, "I have two sons." God says to Abraham, "Your only one." Abraham says, "This one is the only son of his mother, and that one is the only son of his mother." God says to him, whom you love? Abraham says to God, I love them both. God says to Abraham, Isaac. Abraham whittled God down to the specific son he was to sacrifice. With that clarification, Abraham set out with Isaac. What must that three-day trip have been like? Maybe Isaac was having a great time out with his father, hunting most likely, and sleeping out under the stars. But I imagine they didn't talk too much. Abraham's heart was aching, and he couldn't bring himself to banter with his boy. No doubt he was arguing in his head with God. God, do you really expect me to kill this son of mine, the joy of my heart? You know my son's name means laughter, but this is no laughing matter, God. You asking me to give up my son on an altar to death. This is the most epic dad joke of all time. You know how dad jokes are. They are so corny, they result in groans and eye rolling from the hearers who are forced to stand there and listen to them. Like, where do pirates get their hooks? At secondhand stores. Where a dad once encountered a one-handed man and said, I don't think they have what you're looking for here, bro. Or what do you call a beehive without exits? Unbelievable. Or how one dad said, I used to hate facial hair, but then it grew on me. See? That's how dad jokes are, lame attempts to elicit laughter. But this thing with Isaac, again, this was no laughing matter. Perhaps over and over in his head, Abraham thought, did I hear God aright? Was it really God speaking to me, telling me to make a burnt offering of my child? Before meeting with God, yea, those many years ago, Abraham had been a pagan, believing in many gods instead of the one God of all. And while he may not have ever participated in human sacrifice, he surely knew about it. Then he met God, the one true God, and he realized worshiping Yahweh was going to be different. Yahweh would never require his people to sacrifice their children to him. Animal sacrifice was the substitutionary ritual God asked for. There was no way any human being sacrifice could suffice in an attempt to please or appease God. God rejected the violence inherent in taking another human life. These must have been the thoughts swirling around in Abraham's mind as he and Isaac and the servants tracked to Moriah. But Yahweh, you don't ask for human sacrifice. You never have. I thought you never would. Why start now? And why start with me and Isaac? Now, Isaac knew about sacrifices. He must have seen his father perform these rituals thousands of times. So he knew what was needed for a sacrifice: wood, fire, a knife, and a lamb. Isaac looked around and noted his father had the fire, his father had the knife, he himself was carrying the wood, but where was the lamb? How could they make a sacrifice to God if they didn't have everything they needed? Isaac's natural curiosity prompted him to ask Abraham, we have the fire, we have the wood, you have the knife, but where's the lamb? Abraham hesitated only a second before he responded, my son, God himself will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. You know, if you ask me, if this was indeed a test of faith and obedience, as the scripture indicates at the beginning, the testing could have stopped right at that moment, and Abraham would have passed with flying colors. In his heart, he knew God wouldn't let this happen, let him slay his beloved son. He knew somehow God would come through and intervene, this God who was different from all other gods, mainly because this God was real. This God who wanted to show the world a different way to worship him. This God who didn't demand death. Somehow Abraham knew God would provide. He may have been speaking figuratively, thinking of Isaac as the lamb, but there was also that little tiny nugget of belief that God would make something wonderful happen. And so God did. At the very last hair-raising moment, at the very moment Abraham raised the knife over his son's bound body, God called out to him, as God had called out to him several times before. Abraham, Abraham, saying his name twice for emphasis to get his undivided attention. And Abraham responded with his usual reply, here I am, hineni, a word that means I'm here, I'm ready and willing to do whatever you ask of me. God let Abraham off the hook. Of course, God didn't want him to kill Isaac, not literally, of course, but symbolically, spiritually, to offer him as a living sacrifice. No need for him to be slain. Psalm 51:17, written long after Abraham was gone, says, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." The sacrifice God seeks is a devotion of a living soul, not the consumption of a human body. A dead body can't praise God. A dead body can't give testimony to God's awesomeness and God's provision. What God wanted Abraham to kill was his deep devotion to Isaac. God wanted to get Abraham's undivided attention. It may have been that Isaac was detracting Abraham from single-hearted worship of God. God's not mean, but God doesn't want to share adoration and worship with anything or anyone else. Remember, you shall have no other gods before me. Maybe Abraham had been getting off track, letting his love for Isaac distract him from concentrating on God and God alone. God was trying to bring him back around again. This was the test. Was Abraham willing to give up the thing that was most precious to him in all the world for the sake of being faithful to the God who had given him that gift in the first place? God was saying, "It's okay to love your son Isaac, Abraham. I want you to love him. I was so delighted to make you and Sarah laugh at the thought of having a child at your advanced ages. I was so delighted to hear your laughter as laughter was born. But you've let your love for your son overwhelm you to the point where I had to rein you in and remind you of your first of me, Yahweh, your God." Lesson learned. Abraham got his son back and God got a new name. Many biblical names for God are the result of something miraculous and marvelous God has done for God's people. Hagar, the mother of Abraham's firstborn son, was the first to give God a new defining name. When God came to her at the well after she ran away from Sarah, who was treating her, Hagar said, "You are the God who sees me, El Roi." Now Abraham added another title to the list of names for God, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, or the Lord's provision will appear as the lamb appeared to take Isaac's place. Or in keeping with what Hagar said about a seeing, caring God, Jehovah Jireh can also mean the Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it that a lamb will be provided. The Lord will see to it that Abraham's faith is rewarded. The Lord will see to it that a great nation will be created from the line of Abraham and Isaac, Jehovah Jireh. Okay, maybe on third thought, this is exactly the scripture we need to hear on Father's Day, because it reminds us of some important things we need to know about God as our Father. First, we are reminded that God loves us more than any earthly father could, enough to bless us and enough to test us. Second, we are reminded that God wants nothing more and nothing less than our total faith and loyalty. It's nothing less than what Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, deserves. Third, it makes us ask ourselves, what are we willing to give up over thoroughly to God? What keeps us from completely worshiping, serving, and loving God? We are also reminded that God never asked us to do something God has not endured already. God prevented Abraham from sacrificing his son. But when the time came and God's own son, Jesus, was presented as a sacrifice, God did not back down. There are numerous similarities between Jesus Christ and Isaac. Both were specifically promised sons born after a long wait. Both their conceptions were miraculous, against all odds, one to a virgin, one to a 90-year-old woman. Both were given names by angels before they were born, names rich with meaning. Isaac meaning laughter because his parents laughed at the absurdity of their becoming parents, and Jesus' name being Savior because he was born to be the Savior of the world. Both births occurred at God's appointed time, at the set time of which God had spoken. Both births were accompanied by great joy. Both of them carried the wood for their respective sacrifices. Isaac, a cord of wood, Jesus, a cross of wood. Tradition says the spot of Isaac's near sacrifice became the site of Calvary, where Jesus was sacrificed for the sins of the world. God essentially repeated what God had said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. But God followed through on his sacrifice of his son, sparing Abraham, but going through with it with Jesus. As much as it wrenched God's heart, just as the possibility of killing Isaac wrenched Abraham's heart, so God offered Jesus on the cross. Just as God provided Abraham with an unexpected ram, so God provided for us a lamb, the Lamb of God. Jesus died in Isaac's place and in ours. But God knew what would happen on the third day. God knew this willing, lamb-like son would not remain dead. He would, through God's power, rise again on the third day. God would see to it. I leave you with one last unsolicited bit of dad advice. Never date a tennis player because love means nothing to them. But then again, love means everything to God because God is love, and God has proven that love in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lamb God sent to take our sins away. Let us pray. On this Father's Day, God, may we honor you as the loving Father of us all. We thank you for embracing us as your children and sending to us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be an example for us of how to love, obey, and serve you, our Father. May our laughter rise as praise to you now and forevermore. Amen.
In spite of